Now, I'm going to start shortly by going through my background in more detail so you have a very good understanding of the perspective that I'm going to be delivering these messages from today. Now, I don't know how much fun you're going to get out of my presentation, but I certainly hope that there's some information that you can take away that you may feel that is of benefit not only for yourself, but maybe information you can pass on to friends, maybe even family in some circumstances, but also information that you can use to protect and advance in a positive way the communities that you represent. I want to start by telling you what today's not about. I'm not here today to judge anybody, to judge their beliefs. This is not about morals, values, ethics. This is not about what's right or wrong. This isn't about whether someone, they're doing the wrong thing or the right thing. Today, I want you, maybe for the only time in your life, to take the opportunity to look within yourself as an individual as I present this information to you as it relates to this topic. There are people in our community who don't really understand where this sits, the practice of sexting when it comes to young people. I do have adults who say to me, every teenager does this. Do you know what that is to you? That's an insult. They're saying that there is not one teenager in Australia who has access to a digital platform, a device that enables them to connect to the internet that has one good reason within themselves not to get involved in this. Maybe I speak about this and maybe there's some information on the screen that you feel that I'm judging you. No, I'm not. Or maybe you feel that I'm saying you're a bad person. No, I'm not. But I do believe you need to hear the truth. Maybe you hear some information and look at it from a perspective that you just never looked at it before. Because today, for me, an achievement would be this, that you walk out of here with one thing that becomes a part of the knowledge that just sits in the back of your mind that gives you one reason under any circumstances, no matter what pressure is placed upon you, in any particular circumstance, whether it's in a bedroom, whether it's, in a very private place and there's no one else around and pressure gets placed upon you by people or by cultures on the internet or by yourself or your peers, that you will say, no matter what, I'm not going to get involved in this. So I'm not here today to tell you what's right or wrong. I want you to reflect on this yourself as an individual, nothing to do with your friends. Some of this information I don't agree with. That's fine. I just want to present it from my perspective. And my perspective is this. I do have a law enforcement background, but I go into about 170 schools every year. I have four kids myself. My youngest is in year 10. I've got a girl in year 12. I've got two boys who have left school. So I have my own ideas in relation to this, but I will also present to you some undeniable facts. And when we take all this on board, we can decide where we sit as an individual as it relates to this practice. Now, my name is Brett Lee, and I speak funny too because, like Michael, I come from Queensland. So I've flown down from Brisbane to speak here in Sydney today. Yes, my name is Brett Lee, but I'm not that person. That is an imposter. I was Brett Lee first by many, many years, as you can see. And if I ever meet his parents, I'm going to ask them why they named him after me. I am very flattered, but I don't know why. It has been mentioned I have a law enforcement background. Ridiculous photograph, I know, but it's the only photograph of me in police uniform. That's why I use it. I spent 22 years as a Queensland police officer, and for 16 of those years, I was a detective. Now, I have investigated everything from shoplifting up to murder, and I've arrested people for those offences. But for most of my time as a detective, I investigated adults who were looking to harm, hurt, abuse, or commit criminal offences against young people from our community. And my real specialty up until about the year 2000 was in traditional investigations, whereby uniformed police would attend a crime scene. If they believed it was serious enough, they would contact detectives. We would arrive after the fact. We would then identify a crime scene, we'd secure that crime scene, we'd gather evidence, both forensic, scientific, and physical. We would identify potential witnesses and victims. We'd interview them, maybe get medical examinations if required. We would identify potential perpetrators. We would locate them. We would interview them. And then we'd put all that evidence together into a format where it would be admissible in a court of law if we had enough evidence to constitute a prima facie case. We'd then put that person before the court to be judged by their peers. That's what I was specialised in doing. The year 2000 changed a few things, and I'll show you what those are shortly. Now, I'm no longer a detective, and when I left the police, I had the chance to work for the United States government in a country called Iraq. And that's me, bottom right-hand corner, just there. And over there, I was a teacher. I worked as a police instructor. at the Iraq National Police Academy, training these men from Iraq how to be police officers. So as students, you might turn up to class with your books and your pens. My students would turn up with their machine guns, so a little bit different. Same sort of thing though, obviously just a very, very, very dangerous classroom. Not a lot to do with my messages today, but this next slide is. Because as a detective, I was very fortunate. I had the opportunity to actually go to the United States and I worked for the FBI in their undercover internet team. I also worked for the Department of Homeland Security at their Cyber Crime Center in Washington, D.C. And I also worked for some local police, the San Jose City Police in California and the Dallas Police in Texas, at their Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Now, I'm just going to explain to you what all this means. I was very fortunate that I had the opportunity to be trained by world experts in the field of internet investigations. And that presented to me a very unique or a very different phase of technology that not many people get a chance to see. Most people's view of technology and what the internet's all about, including adults, is what they see on their screen, what they're told by other people, what they imagine themselves. But I got to see a far deeper view of that world. And it presented to me some things that, you know, not a lot of people get to consider. And that's okay, because most people use technology. Most people are good people online, and they use technology to either connect with friends and family, social network. They use it to have fun, play online games. And they use it to entertain themselves by watching hundreds of funny goat videos. So that's what most people use technology for, but I got to see a different view of that. In doing this job, I had cause to arrest hundreds and hundreds of people for doing nothing more than typing the wrong keys on their keyboard in the privacy of their own home, pushing the wrong buttons on their smartphone, in their social media, or their gaming account. They made bad choices online. It was either seen by someone else and they made a complaint to the police, or we found them ourselves. They were arrested. And a number of those people went to prison. Now, they didn't go to a cyber prison because there's no such place as a cyber prison. They went to a real-world prison. Now, do you know what that says to me in an undeniable way? No matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what yourself tells you, that when I put my face behind a screen, I am in a real world. And I'm in a real world for one reason. I'm connected to real people. So why shouldn't I think I should use the same knowledge, the same skills, the same instincts, the same wisdom that I use to make my choice in the physical world to ensure I protect myself, that I have a good time, that I can achieve what I want to achieve? Why shouldn't I use that when it comes to making my choices online? Some people learn these things the hard way. Those people sitting in my police station learned it the hard way, because I noticed that they all had four things in common. One, they never imagined it would be them sitting in a police station because of what they were doing on the internet the night before. They never conceptualised that. They never thought about it. They never thought past what they were imagining. One other person's going to see this, end of the story. The second thing they had in common. So they didn't think those two worlds would ever come together. They thought they were separate. The second thing they had in common, they believed that they were anonymous. This is one of the illusions that the internet creates in a human being, whereby just because other people can't see them, they don't share what they believe is much information, that they believe that no one knows who they are. Now, that's not going to matter for most of our time online, because we're not doing anything where that's taken into account. But what we don't want to do, like these criminals, is just make choices online because we believe that nobody knows who we are. Those criminals I arrested were some of the most dangerous, violent people in our community, and they had more reason than anybody else in the world to mask their online identity. They would use services, software, and settings. They would go to a different Wi-Fi position every time so we couldn't trace them back to their account, their device, or their location. We found every single one. The third thing they had in common, it was when they were sitting in the police station. They could have discussed this, they could have talked about it, but it was when they were sitting in the police station, that's when they saw all the reasons, all the social indicators as to why they shouldn't have done it in the first place. See, when we're walking around in the physical world, there's things around us that help us make a good choice. On the internet, it's us and the screen. So we have to condition ourselves a little bit differently to know that, hey, I've got to think, what could be the results of this? What if someone else did see this? And we don't have to step these things through. This becomes instinctive. We just need to understand the nature of that world. But the fourth thing that these criminals had in common was this. They believed that what they were doing on the internet was private. I call this the grand illusion that the internet plays on a human being. They believed that they could control who was going to see what they were doing online. I have some adults say to me, I deserve my privacy on the internet. I say, really, who told you that? Where's that written down? What, have you got a contract saying you deserve privacy on the internet? You're connected to 3 billion people. You're in the most public place that you will ever be in your life. No one deserves privacy on the internet. It's not my choice if it stays private. when I send a picture or post a message, that's up to someone else, whether I can imagine that or not. Do you know what those adults actually say to me? And maybe they're right. I deserve my privacy. I want it to be private. It looks private. It feels private. I've been promised that it's private. I demand that it's private, but that doesn't make it private. And do you know what those criminals couldn't do? They couldn't sit in my police station and go, you're not allowed to use that as evidence in court against me because I wanted it to be private. So I call this the grand illusion. See, there's a lot of misconceptions out there when it comes to technology. A lot of people's beliefs out there, and they might be trying to push these onto you, aren't based on fact. It's what they want. It's what they imagine. The internet operates under its own set of laws. And I am going through this because it sort of sets up the content that I'm going to talk about as it relates to sexting. I mean, I'm going to ask you a question, one of those polls, and it's going to have to do with, if you thought the whole world was going to see a naked photograph of you, how many people would want to take it back? So have to think about that now, because that's going to be one of the questions. But there is another reason as to why I sort of understand what it means to feel pressure online as a young person. I was never your age and had technology. I could never truly understand what it's like to be a young person, being connected to people who may have never ever been able to connect with me had it not been for technology, or pressures or content that I never ever would have had to deal with. So I don't fully understand, but I do understand a little bit, because for 5 years as a detective, it was my job to go on the internet and pretend to be you. It was my job to pretend to be a teenage boy or a teenage girl on the internet, and I did that for thousands of hours. I've actually been a teenage girl on the internet longer than any teenage girl in Australia's history. And of course, I've been a young man for thousands of hours as well. I've had dozens of social networking sites pretending to be a teenager. I've played those online games for thousands of hours. I've used all those communication programs, both private messaging and also public communication forums. I know more about Justin Bieber, Hannah Montana, and One Direction than anybody else in the world. So that was my job. I have seen that world through your eyes. Because I'm an adult, I can't fully appreciate what it feels like to be a young person and exactly some of the things you may want to extract from technology. But I have a bit of an understanding. And I build my presentations around that. That's where this information comes from. So that's the platform that I'll be talking on, my background. Now, sexting. What is it? Everyone has their slight different definition, but I think everybody in general terms knows what it is. That's where a user distributes a sexually explicit image of themselves via information communication technology to another user or users. That just means someone sends a naked photograph of himself to someone else over the internet. That's the practice of sexting. Do you know sexting was around when I was growing up? The problem was I had to take the film down to the chemist to get developed before I mailed the photograph to the other person. It is funny, isn't it? That's why I didn't do it. That's why I didn't even think about it. That could be embarrassing. You know, what if the pharmacist saw that? That could be embarrassing when I went to pick it up. It would cost me money. It would take time. I mean, I would go, hey, Gilligan's Island starts in half an hour. I don't have time to go down to the chemist. So that's some of the reasons I didn't do it. I didn't consider it. What happens now is we've been given a little magic box whereby we can connect with 3 billion people and in a split second we can take a photograph of ourselves without really thinking it through and then forwarding that image to those people without thinking it through. No wonder some people out there are struggling when it comes to what choices they should or shouldn't make on the internet. We don't get a chance to really consider it or think it through. And we get a lot of information coming from people, and that information isn't to suit us, it's to suit themselves. So today, I want us to think about it a little bit deeper to find out where we actually stand when it comes to this topic. This is my first poll. So this will be going to that website like we tested and then voting. You will see the questions on your screen, I believe, but they're up there just to remind you. Now, this isn't what you think. This isn't what you imagine. It's what you know, people who you're associated with, not total strangers online. So how common do you believe sexting is amongst your group? That's personal friends, the people who stand beside you every day. So let's see what these statistics come, well, your votes come back to say. Give you a bit of time. Look, even in the early stages, I think I can say that you have disproved what some people in our community think. Everybody does it, apparently. I'll just read out the results here. The question is, how common do you believe sexting is amongst your group? The first one said, it would be surprising to me if any of my friends were involved. That's received the most votes. And there's 1,211 people who've responded and still climbing. 43% voted it would be surprising to me if any of my friends were involved. 34% at this stage says, I know that some of my peer group get involved, but only a few. The third option, it's more common than not, 15%. It seems to me that most of my friends do it, hovering between 8 and 9%. Okay, so there's two clear winners there that make up the vast majority, and that was the first two. It seems, I know that some of my peer group get involved, but only a few, was the second. It would be surprising to me if any of my friends were involved, had the most votes. To me, that is refreshing. I have done this once before, and the results were very similar. To you, maybe some of those are quite surprising. Because you know the problem here is this. If we're made to believe that everybody is doing this, that might somehow make us feel that we're missing out on it. That there's something wrong with us. If everyone else is doing it, that makes it okay for me to do it. So I think these results here are very important. Do you know what these are? This is what you truly believe. Do you know what? I was speaking at a school, an exclusive school in Brisbane last year. And I was speaking to group year 10 boys. And I said to these year 10 boys, hey guys, you can't vote on your phones, but here's a question. And I asked them that question. And I said, here's the four responses. Hands up if you would vote on the first response. And do you know what the first thing those year 10 boys did? They didn't look within themselves and think, now, which one would I vote on? And then put their hand up. The first thing they did was they looked around to see what everybody else was voting on. And I understand that. Adults would do that as well. They didn't want to be the only one voting on a particular thing. They didn't want someone to think something of them. They weren't going to tell me what they truly believed. They were going to tell me what they thought their mates wanted them to hear. I believe these results are a lot more private because it's us and our screen. Does it necessarily mean that they are perfect and they're an exact true reflection? No, but I think the results spoke for themselves. For some of those, it wasn't even close. Now, if you're thinking, well, I get involved in this, I'm in a very small minority, this may be that time as I go through that you start to think, whoa, there's something wrong with me. You're saying I'm a bad person. No, I'm not. I'm acknowledging that you're a young person no matter what I put up on this screen, and I would rather you felt like that now than when maybe you're in a position feeling like that, a position that you don't want to be in. So that's the first poll. What can make it illegal? I'm very quickly in general terms going to outline the legalities that may apply to the practice of sexting. Every state and territory in Australia has their own legislation and it is slightly different. So what I'm going to talk about is federal legislation that covers every single person in our country, whether they're residents, whether they're working here, whether they're on holidays. So what are some considerations that we need to make when it comes to the practice of sexting? This is a definition out of the Federal Criminal Code in general terms, and it says that a picture or a video that depicts a person who is or appears to be under the age of 18, and that picture or video is of a sexual nature, it's used for sexual purposes, it is a federal criminal offence. To possess it, to make it, or to post it or send it, to distribute it. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. 14-year-old takes a sexually explicit image of themselves and they forward that to someone over the internet and that person takes it and then that person shares it with another person online. the 14-year-old who took that image of themselves and sent it, technically has committed the offence of possess child exploitation material, distribute child exploitation material. The student that it was sent to, if they don't delete it immediately, if they keep it, and they have knowledge that it's there, they also commit the offence of possess child exploitation material. If they forward it on, they have then distributed it, and so on. It does not matter who's in the photo. If the person depicted in that image appears to be under the age of 18 or is under the age of 18, it is a federal criminal offence to have it on your device. Now, I'm going to tell you the history of this legislation, of these laws. Even before the internet was invented, I would arrest adults, generally men, and we would forensically examine, even before the internet, we would arrest them because before the internet was invented, there were people in our community who would get access to magazines, maybe VHS cassette tapes with movies on it that depicted young people being abused. When those people were arrested for having possession of that, they were sent to prison. And they were put in a separate section because the other prisoners hated them so much. That is the history of these types of pictures and videos. They have never been considered by our community as normal material. It's been considered as being dangerous and also highly illegal. The problem here is that now young people are in a position whereby they can create this material and then they can start distributing it. Now, I'm just talking about the legal considerations here, but do you know what? This might be that one thing sitting in the back of your mind now and for the rest of your life when you walk out of here and go, well, why would I put myself in that position? No one imagines that what they believe is private online may become public. I want to give you an example. I spoke at a school not so long ago, year 12 student at that school, a young man sent a young lady a photograph that came under that definition. He sent that to a lady at another school. She didn't see it. Her father did. And he didn't think it was funny. He didn't think it was normal. He was furious. So he took that device down to the police station. The police examined it and traced it back to that young man. The police went to his school the next day. He was expelled instantly in year 12 and arrested. They examined his phone at the school and found that that photo had been sent to him by another student. So they went and arrested that student, expelled instantly. Guys, as I go through this, you might say, well, some of this sounds really heavy. Do you know why it sounds heavy? Because it can be heavy. There are going to be people who try and trivialise this topic for you. They're going to try and make you believe, oh, this is what everyone does. This is just a few rude pictures. We have to consider these things. So it is highly illegal. And do you know what? It doesn't matter whether someone's 10, 12, 14, 16, 21, 32, 49, if they had possession of these images, if they distribute them, they can be arrested for that. So I just wanted to raise that with you. It is illegal. And remember what I said at the start, this isn't about what we think's right or wrong or why people are making choices. When we would arrest those adults for having that material, we didn't have to prove why they had it. We didn't have to prove intent. It's just illegal to have it. Now, you might say, why would I have one of those on my phone? Maybe something happens that, you know, I can't control where it gets out into the public, and maybe someone thinks it's so serious they contact the police. I just thought you needed to know some of the things that are happening in the community with young people. You know, working for the FBI, do you know what I realised? People that I arrested, not one of them had previous criminal convictions. The internet can be very good at encouraging good people like you into making bad choices. And I hate to see that just because someone's a young person. So here's the second poll. Should sexting be illegal as it relates to teenagers? The four options you'll see on your screen is it needs to be illegal, it's serious, it may depend on the circumstances, sexting as it relates to teenagers should never be illegal, and I'm undecided. We're up to about 1,000 responses, and that will continue to climb. But I'll read out the what we have up on the screen at the moment. The first option, it needs to be illegal, it's serious, is 48%. It may depend on the circumstances, 38%. I'm undecided, 9%. And sexting as it relates to teenagers should never be illegal, 5%. Now, I'm going to very quickly, while that's still going, just a scenario that I imagine some people voting may be thinking when they voted on, it may depend on the circumstances. Maybe both parties who are exchanging these images are 16 years of age or older, and they're in a relationship and it's consensual. When it comes to legalities, perhaps in that circumstance, it shouldn't be treated the same as if that person was trying to harm, to exploit a child or to harm another person. I do understand that. As it stands at the moment, in most states and territories, and certainly federally, that doesn't exist. But these are discussions that communities can have, that governments can have. It may still be illegal, but maybe it's not treated in the same way as someone who is trying to exploit children. I do understand that. So those figures have remained basically the same. Okay, I might move on. Why do people do it? I'm just very quickly going to put this up here because time is my enemy. That's just one example of a young man who got involved in this, in sending sexually explicit images that came under the definition I just had on the screen to his friends. He did not do this to commit offences. He did not do this to harm other people. He did not do this because he was a criminal or he wanted to disappoint his family or his community. He did it because he may have thought it was funny. Maybe he saw other people do it and he was just mucking around. I think it is very rare for a young person to act on sinister intentions when it comes to being involved in this practice. It's more for their own personal reasons. And these are some of the things that young people tell me why they get involved in it. They think everybody does it so they don't want to miss out. They believe it's what mature people do. They wanted the other person to like them. They were pressured into it by people or groups. They wanted to feel accepted. And some people don't have a good reason not to do it. I don't know. It's just what you do. These aren't reasons to harm another person or to go against our community or our society. They're all reasons whereby young people think that they're going to get something out of this. Somehow they have been convinced that if I get involved in this, it's going to help me in some way. And one thing that I do ask young people, and you're going to see this one here, that's going to be the next poll, but there are circumstances, and I've heard of cases where young people use these images against other young people. They say, if you don't do what I say, those pictures you sent me, I'm going to make sure everybody sees them, that you will be embarrassed, that you will get into trouble. Now, if someone does that to you, that is incredibly serious. That is a separate matter. That's called extortion. And that is a very serious criminal offence. And you must never deal with that on your own. If you have distributed these images and other people have them, and they're using them against you to gain a benefit, you need to immediately do something about that. That is not a good situation to be in. There is not one thing on the internet that can't be fixed if we start talking to people who we trust. The only way people can control you online is if you keep it to yourself. So here's the third one. How do you think your parents would react if it became known you were involved in sexting? They would freak out and overreact. They would be disappointed but would be prepared to discuss it. They wouldn't mind at all. Or I'm honestly not sure how they would react. So that's another one to vote on. We have over 1,000 responses so far, so I'll read them out. They would be disappointed but would be prepared to discuss it, 58%. They would freak out and overreact, 28%. That's what my kids would have voted on. I'm honestly not sure how they would react, 10%. And they wouldn't mind at all, 3%. We have over 1,200 responses, and it's still about the same. First one's hovering between 57, 58. Second one, 28. Third one, 11. And then they wouldn't mind at all is hovering between 3 and 4%. Do you know what this says to me? I believe that we have someone in our life, one person that we could pick out, that we would think, I have enough faith and trust in them, that if I did get involved in this, maybe I was involved and I was worried or I'm being pressured to get involved and I don't know what to do, or someone's using these images against me, someone that I could go to. Do you know what? My kids, even though they might have voted, oh yeah, Dad would overreact, there's probably someone else that they could go to and talk to about that. I don't know whether I would. I've never been in that position. But I think everybody would have someone in their life that they could talk to. And do you know what I realised working for the FBI? The internet can be very good at causing you issues, but it is terrible at solving them. You never need to keep anything to yourself. We solve online problems by talking to people in the physical world. Do you know those criminals I arrested, when they thought they were talking to a young person online, they needed me to keep that to myself. And they did that through fear, through threats, through intimidation. What they would do, they would say, you're the one that's going to get into trouble or you will be embarrassed. That is someone controlling you. To take back that control, you put that device down and you talk to someone you trust. So, I'm going to show you this next question and I want you to answer this honestly. So look within yourself and honestly think, if this was the case, what would I do? How likely would you be to take it back if you truly believed your images would become public? Our options are, I would definitely want to take it back. Not really bothered being public as long as my parents didn't see it. Only if I can be identified. And it wouldn't bother me if the whole world saw it. So there's those four options there. It's early days, but I think there's a clear winner. I don't want to put ideas in your head, but this would be what's called a Bradbury if any of the others came back and won from there. I don't want to preempt your answer, but imagine this. Your grandma saw it. That's called the grandma test. Okay, look, I won't go any further with that one. We're well over 1,000 votes. I would definitely want to take it back, 83%. Only if I can be identified, 8%. It would not bother me if the whole world saw it, 6%. Not really bothered if it was public as long as my parents didn't see it, and I'm not sure. I won't say any more about that because of time. Very quickly, in 1 minute, I'm going to go through an analogy to help us maybe put it into perspective. I want you to imagine you're in Sydney. Is it Martin Place? Yeah, you're in Martin Place. There's a big festival on. There's hundreds of people around. And you're standing in the middle of the crowd there in Martin Place. I know it's not Martin Place. Just imagine it. A big public place. And you're hungry. So you're looking through the crowd to find something to eat. And of course, you're looking for salad because all young people like eating salad. So as you're looking for somewhere to eat, you see someone you like in the crowd. So you push your way through the crowd, walk up to the middle, walk up to that person, and you take all your clothes off. Or that person says to you, hey, you, take all your clothes off. And you go, oh, okay. So you take all your clothes off. Now, I can tell by your reaction that you're going, what? This didn't really happen, did it? Why would I do that? What's the point? I mean, I could embarrass myself. I could get into trouble. I mean, it's lunchtime. I could put people off their food. I would never do that. And if you saw someone naked in the middle of that food court, you wouldn't walk past and go, oh, yeah, there's another naked person. Now, what am I having for lunch? KFC. You'd go, whoa, what's going on here? And everyone would back up. There'd be a naked person in the middle and a big ring of pavers or bitumen around them. And do you know what? Someone would be straight on the phone to the police. And if I was walking the beat down there as a police officer, I would turn up with my mates and we'd have to arrest that person. I mean, they're not hurting anybody. I mean, these images don't hurt anybody. But we would have to arrest that person because you're just not allowed to do that. It's called willful exposure. But as a policeman, I wouldn't take them to a police station. I'd take them to a hospital because I would think, "What? That's not a normal thing to do. Why would you do that? That's something we don't see every day of the week." Now, do you know what, guys? I believe if we look at it in a particular way, if I send a sexually explicit image of myself over the internet, if we believe the internet's public, which it is, I've done exactly the same thing. I've just never looked at it that way. I can't make all those people not see me. That's not my choice if I only want one person to see me naked. I've taken that most private personal thing that I have that if used by others could cause big problems for me in my life, people I don't trust, and I've put it into a community with potentially 3 billion people where I'll have no control over that for the rest of my life. I need to think, why am I doing this? Why do I need to put myself in that position? Is it that I want to feel something myself or I want to show something to someone else? And then weigh it up against the risks that could occur. What happens if that image got into the hands of someone, maybe even someone I consider an enemy? How could they use that to really affect my life? This is what I want you to consider. I'm not saying that people who get involved in this, that they're inherently bad people or there's something wrong with them. Maybe they just haven't stepped it through. And I'd like you to do that today. That's the purpose of this. So in wrapping up, I would just like you to ask yourself these questions. Why am I doing this? Is this really who I am? And how could this affect me, my family, my community, my future, if it became public? The problem is, when other people have this information, it doesn't matter what we imagine or think. It's up to them to control it. So you've seen the results of some of those polls. So you may know a little bit about what your peers are thinking. That may be an indication of what's really going on out there, not what people are saying to you face to face or the ideas you're getting from looking at the screen or listening to popular opinion, which can include the media as well. The last question. From today, what is the likelihood that you would get involved in sexting? The first one, there is almost no chance that I would get involved. I don't see a problem with it. I would most likely get involved, is the second. I would not send an image of myself, but I would receive one from someone else. I'm still undecided. I'll wait till it gets a little bit higher. It's good that we're thinking about this last one a little bit more. This is about you, not about what your friends are doing. Okay, we're over 1,000. The first one, there is almost no chance that I would get involved, 71%. I would not send an image of myself, but I would receive one from someone else, 13%. I'm still undecided, 9%. I don't see a problem with it. I would most likely get involved. I just want to say this in finishing before I give about 30 seconds of advice. I believe you know the strategies that would be available to you to fix if it became a problem. It really comes back to talking to people we trust. But I just want to say this. If you never, ever, ever send a sexually explicit image of yourself via technology, these results here indicate to me that you are in the majority of people your age. You are not missing out on something. You are not the only person that doesn't do it. This is about you trusting your instincts. Do you know what these results told me? That there's a lot of young people in our community who do get it. They are mature, they understand how this could affect them. Now, if you were in the results that said, I don't see a problem with it, I understand that. I do understand young people, for whatever reason, may feel that this needs to be a part of their life. But for those of you who are still thinking about it and the ones who are involved, today can be the day that you moved in to the majority. This is not saying you're a bad person if you're involved. It's not saying there's something wrong with you. But remember what I said at the start, the purpose of this is that you can leave this presentation with one thing in the back of your mind where you go, you know what, I have done it before. Yep, you know, I am getting a bit older, maybe I shouldn't have. From today, I am never doing this again. So what do? If we have been involved, we get rid of them off our phone. If we feel a real sense of threat that our health and well-being is being affected, whether physically or we just are worried about it, we talk to someone we trust. If people are pressuring you online, you block and delete them. If you think it's serious enough where yourself or another person could be in a position of danger or it is serious, talk to a trusted person and then maybe get advice, some legal advice, maybe from the police, contact the police. If you know the person who's pressuring you, maybe you need to step up that maturity and talk to them and say, hey, I know we've been doing this stuff, but don't send me that anymore. If this gets found on my phone, I won't be allowed to use technology for the next 50 years. And I don't want to get you into trouble, so don't send them to me anymore. Now, if they continue to pressure you, you have to really question, why don't they respect what I have asked? Why are they going against what I've asked them not to do? Any problems at all, I always come back to the best bit of advice, and that is not dealing with it yourself. That's where it can spiral out of control. That's where we can have big problems. Talk to somebody you trust. So guys, I hope I've given you a few things there to think about. Everybody is different. Everybody thinks differently. As we grow and as we learn, do you know what? If I was confronted with this world when I was your age, I would be struggling with this as well, maybe. There's things I wouldn't fully understand or pressures that I would be getting, but I didn't have to deal with that. So it was hard enough for me to grow as a teenager without technology. You have all those issues plus technology piled upon that. And I know it's not easy. But stick together with your mates. Talk about these things. You can see how most young people are thinking because of those results. So look, have a great day. Thanks for coming out and speaking. And thank you everybody who's been watching online. I would encourage discussion with your peers and as a school community. We get it out there and talk about it, and you know that could probably further enhance the messages I had for you today.